Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Colin Weatherwax. Colin, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We're recording a little bit late tonight. It's actually after the Thursday night game. We'll try to get the Thursday night game in on these recordings, but sometimes it's just schedule-wise isn't going to work out, and this was one of those nights. So the Browns have won a football game, Colin.
What?
Yes.
They did?
Yes, the Browns won.
Wow.
I didn't think that was allowed, but it has happened.
That's crazy. I think they're going nuts, like they just won the Super Bowl or something.
It seemed like it. I haven't had a chance to watch the game yet. I was out doing a family thing for my kid at her school, losing raffles and stuff like that. So I'll definitely watch that and check it out. But congratulations, all you Browns fans. The long wait is finally over.
Yeah, there's probably one listening right now.
I was sure they were going to miss the field goal at the end. But they just avoided the field goal situation altogether. Just like, listen,
right?
We're not going to try to tie this game. We've got to try to win this thing.
You know, they tried this time. The first 2 weeks, they just, you know, were like, okay, which way can we lose this week?
Speaking of losing, why don't we do a quick board bet update? Because I am absolutely wiping the floor with you.
Segways. Yeah, it was a tough week last week. I won our one main football bet, like, you know, team by team, no fantasy implications. But when it came to fantasy, we did not help the people, and I lost all the bets. So it was a straight up loss for me last week.
Oh, I don't know about you. Not you may not have helped the people. I went 4-0. Four and one, or 3-1 against you in board bets. So I believe I helped the people.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think they're rooting for the underdog. Well, kind of like the Browns.
Yeah, I would assume our listeners are rooting for the underdog for sure. And you are definitely the underdog after 2 weeks of board bets. You are down 4-1. We will have more bets to give you a chance to catch up. But just wanted to update that as long as I'm winning.
Okay, yeah, I'll be sure to take over the reins, you know, in a couple weeks whenever the tables have turned. I'll just bring that up.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Let's let's jump into our first game. We're going to talk about the New Orleans Saints at the Atlanta Falcons. Colin, what do you got for this game?
Oh, this is going to be a shootout, and I say that now, and it's probably going to end up like it was last week for the Saints, and it was just kind of a low-scoring affair, but you know, I think whenever it comes to the Saints, you gotta start the Breeze, Kamara, Thomas. I mean, Thomas is getting so many targets, it's unreal. So I think that's the way I'm gonna go. And I also am kind of keeping an eye on, you know, Kamara this week, because in week five, he's gonna lose some playing time to Mark Ingram, and I'm wondering if this is a sell high for Alvin Kamara. I mean, I don't know who you can possibly get, but I'm wondering if it's either going to be a sell high or if they're just going to kind of phase Ingram out and kind of use him whenever he comes back, more like they're using Gillislee now.
Yeah, I think that maybe Ingram will start off a little bit slow in terms of his touches, work him back in, make sure he's in shape. But ultimately, I think they'll go back to the run-heavy approach. I think what it'll really hurt is Drew Brees. Because I don't think he'll be airing it out quite as much as he has been. Though, if the defense plays as poorly as it's played the first two games of the season, they may not have a choice.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's the one difference with this year so far. You know, they don't have Ingram, so they can't establish the run like they did last year at the beginning of the season. And their defense looks really bad, so If their defense can't improve, then I see Kamara on the field a lot more. And I know that's a couple weeks down the line, but you got to be thinking ahead, especially if you have a nice lead. If you're 0-3, even if you have Kamara, you got to, you know, think about changing it up a little bit. So you always got to be ahead of the game before, you know, Ingram comes back or something were to happen.
This will be the first week it appears that Cameron Meredith is going to be active for the Saints. Any hope for him?
Probably not. He's a guy that you're still stashing. But whenever it comes to the second wide receiver on the Saints right now, I mean, Austin Carr got the second most, you know, snap percentage last week. And you know, that's just saying something for you know, their wide receiver core right now. But it's mainly Michael Thomas in their passing game and Alvin Kamara. There's really no one else right now. It's going to take, you know, a couple good games for Meredith for me to feel comfortable putting him back in.
On the Atlanta side of the ball, are you excited about Calvin Ridley? I mean, he went from only playing 4 snaps, none of them on the offensive side of the ball, all on special teams, in week one, to recording 4 catches for 64 yards and a touchdown. So he's going to see a lot of Ken Crawley, who's not looked good. You know, there's going to be a lot of double coverage on Julio. Is this a big week for Calvin Ridley?
I hope so. I mean, I was very excited whenever I saw him score the touchdown last week. You know, great route, great slant route by him, and he got in the end zone, so that was something that we've been waiting on. But as long as Mohamed Sanu is there, I just think that the target share isn't going to be there. You know, in order to start him in a format that's like 12 teams or something like that, if it's a deeper league, deeper bench, more flex spot, something like that, then I'll feel more comfortable throwing him in there. But it was encouraging to see him, you know, be on the field. He was on the field for 56% of the plays. So, and that's something that's exciting moving forward, especially with Julio Jones on the other side.
I don't think this would be a big week for Sanu. Sanu goes up against Patrick Robinson out of the slot, who's one of the best slot corners in the league. So I think this will be a slow week for Sanu. For me, it's, you know, obviously you're starting Coleman, since Freeman is likely to be out. You're starting Julio Jones. I think there is an interesting case to be made for Austin Hooper if you're hurting at tight end. You know, Hooper got 5 catches, 59 yards and a touchdown. It's going to be a hard guy to trust. I still ranked him as a tight end too, but I think he's going to be more and more involved in the offense.
Yeah, he's a great best ball type of guy. I mean, every year he has these 2 games where he scores 2 touchdowns and nothing else the rest of the year. But are you starting Matt Ryan this week?
Yes.
Yeah, he's probably going to be a low end QB one for me. I haven't done that.
I'm not starting him over like a Patrick Mahomes or, you know, any of like, you know, my solid QB ones. But I think he's a QB one for me. Like, would you start him or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Ooh, you know what? I'm actually leaning Jimmy G, just because Kansas City is. Yeah.
Would you? Oh, I'm trying to. Wentz or Ryan?
I think the upside's better for Wentz. I got one. What about?
I'd go Ryan there. I just don't know how much the Eagles want to let Wentz throw first game back. It should be an easy game against the Colts. So.
Speaking of easy games, would you rather start Kirk Cousins or Matt Ryan? Just because of game flow, Kirk Cousins at Buffalo or against Buffalo?
I'm still starting Cousins.
Okay. Yeah, I could see a lot of people going contrarian and not starting Cousins just because the Bills are atrocious.
Here's my only reason. I mean, we'll get to that game, but I think if they're going to protect anybody once they're up, they're going to protect
Cook,
yeah. They're going to get him out of the game, and they'll still let Cousins throw the ball around.
That makes sense.
So, all right, New Orleans Saints at the Atlanta Falcons. Who you got?
Let's go. I'm going to go New Orleans here. I think they're going to get back on track. They're going to go up to 2-1, and Atlanta's going to fall down by the wayside a little bit in that division.
Yeah, I'm taking the Falcons.
All right.
Let's move on. Let's talk about the San Francisco 49ers at the Kansas City Chiefs. This is an interesting game because, I mean, we're seeing Patrick Mahomes start off his NFL career just phenomenally. And you know it's got to slow down. But, I mean, the Niners' defense is just atrocious. So, like, I don't think it's going to stop here. Like, I think it should be another big week. Do you agree?
Yeah, unfortunately, I told all of our listeners wrong last week, thinking that, you know, he might actually struggle. You know, sue me for that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, these
I didn't
past...
listen to you. I started him anyways.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But, you know, these past 2 weeks playing up against, you know, Pittsburgh and then now going to San Francisco, who has a really bad defense as well, I mean, right now you got to ride the wave. Unless you sold high on him, you have to start him if he's on your bench. Even if you draft him as your QB2, there's not too many guys that I'm going to start over him this week. So that being said, I mean, you got to fire up all Kansas City guys. I know it's frustrating owning Hunt right now because he's not as involved as he was last year.
He will.
We're not going to see what he did against the Patriots last year in his first game, probably ever again, just because Alex Smith is in the quarterback. He doesn't have to dink and dunk all the way down. So, you know, they have so many weapons on this offense. They have Hill. They have this guy named Sammy Watkins who had 100 yards and,
he's,
you know, a long-ass run, a long run last week. And then they still have Travis Kelce as well. So there's a lot of mouths to feed in this offense. And eventually one of them won't show up and it's going to be frustrating. But you got to fire up all the cylinders for the Chiefs this week.
You know, the beauty of Mahomes is there's going to be a tough stretch coming up here. Week 5, they've got Jacksonville, then they're at New England week 6. But other than that, their schedule lines up really, really nicely.
And yeah.
It's, you know, Cincinnati, Denver, at Cleveland, Arizona, the Rams, which of course is, you know, is going to be a tough matchup. A bye week, then Oakland, Baltimore, and the Chargers again, and Seattle, Oakland. I mean, this schedule for Kansas City is pretty cake, and so I can understand people wanting to sell high on Mahomes. I don't think I would.
Yeah, it just depends on, you know, who you have as your QB1 that you drafted, or if you just went no QB, then if this is your guy, then this is your guy. Yeah. It also depends on who you can get for him. I mean, there's some people out there that, you know, will overpay and, you sure. know, probably give an RB1 or wide receiver one.
Oh,
and
at that price,
you can't pass that up. But for now, you definitely have to ride the wave and just, you know, keep watching and in awe. And I mean, I saw something on Twitter, you know, sometime today that he's not even forcing these passes in. I mean, the coverages that he's playing against, these guys are wide open. And he's just slinging it, and it's accurate balls. And that was one of the things that we were looking for coming into the season, is how accurate is this guy going to be? We know how strong his arm is, but what we've seen in the first 2 weeks has just been very impressive.
On the Niners side of the ball, Matt Breida was fantastic versus the Lions. Will that continue?
Probably not. He wasn't even the leading snap percentage guy on his own team. Alfred Morris still got the most snaps on his team, so If you're getting an offer for the leading rusher in, you know, in the NFL right now, and you can sell him for something of value, I would. I think he'll probably be the best running back in this situation the whole year. Alfred Morris is kind of just his own thing. You know, he's going to get you those 2, 3, 4 yards. I mean, you know it best seeing him in Washington. So he's the most electric of the two, so he's probably going to get the most playing time, but I just don't see him holding up for the whole year, and I don't see how he can perform to the ability that he has so far for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. So, I mean, I would try to sell high on Breida. That line isn't very good. That team isn't very good. I think they're going to be down quite a bit and forced to throw a lot more. So, if I could get a RB2 for Matt Breida, or, you know, wide receiver 2 for Matt Breida, I think I'm doing that.
Oh, yeah, especially with how little you had to pay for him. And if they have to throw some more, hopefully their quarterback can actually hit some people. I mean, he's been atrocious to start the year.
Well, it's hard, too, when you're being chased around.
Like, yeah.
The protection has not been good in San Francisco.
Yeah, and then not having Goodwin there, who seems to be his favorite target, is probably not helping as well. So, I mean, for this game, I think I don't know how comfortable you are starting, you know, Garoppolo, but he's probably going to be a back end QB1, definitely.
Yeah, I think he's a quarterback too.
Yeah, and a 2 quarterback league, you got to start him, but you know, he's definitely streamable this week against that Kansas City defense.
Yeah. All right. San Francisco 49ers at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are 6.5-point favorites.
Yeah, give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs. Oakland Raiders, your Oakland Raiders, who won last week versus the Miami.
Almost.
Oh, that's right. No, they didn't win. They covered the spread. That's close enough.
Yes.
Sorry, my bad. I lost because I bet against the Raiders is what it was.
Yeah, don't that the deciding factor is don't bet against the Raiders.
Yeah, I shouldn't
no
have
matter
given
what.
You the points is what you were willing to do it straight up and I got cocky. So Oakland Raiders at the Miami Dolphins. What do you got in this game?
So Oakland's frustrating. I mean, not just from a fan side. It's just frustrating. I mean, whenever Derek Carr sets a new record for completion percentage in a game and you still can't start him as a quarterback in fantasy, it's still so frustrating. Speaking of frustrating, Amari Cooper didn't show up in week one, showed up in week two. He's just going to be so streaky this year. And I know Gruden keeps saying, okay, we got to get this guy involved. Blah, blah, blah. But we've seen this before with Cooper, and I don't think it's going to get any better or worse moving forward with him. And other than that, I'm not comfortable starting any of the running backs. Jared Cook is there, and I mean, tight end is tight end. So yeah. You're probably starting Cook and Cooper, and that's about it.
Not Lynch?
No, I'm not, because it's dependent on game flow for him. And, you know, if the Raiders are going to be playing like they have, and yes, they've been in the games, but as soon as, you know, they get down one score, maybe even a field goal, they go straight into either Doug Martin or they go to Jalen Richard and eventually DeAndre Washington as well. So I actually traded Marshawn Lynch in one of my leagues for Rex Burkhead this week. I'm not big on Patriots running backs, but I just don't see Lynch getting a lot of volume this year.
Yeah, I think this is a game that he could get quite a bit of volume. So I think he would probably fall into the back end of my RB2s this week. But that's a close one. So well, on the Miami side of the ball, Devontae Parker should make his debut this week unless something's happened that I haven't seen. So we can see all the Devontae Parker truthers come back out and who still haven't realized he just sucks.
Yeah, who cares? It doesn't matter.
So, from the Miami side of the ball, Kenyon Drake is an interesting guy because he looks good, but he's still splitting carries with Frank Gore, virtually 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating if you're owning him. I mean, it's actually 60-40 if you want to get technical. I mean, that's so far off, Justin. I can't believe you didn't
that.
Look that up before you just, you know, word vomited all over this podcast. But yeah, it's frustrating owning him. I mean, Frank Gore is the ageless wonder. He's anywhere he goes, he's going to get some
old.
Care.
Like he he doesn't look good. Like, I mean, it's not like this whole ageless wonder thing. He's just old and out there.
But they're two completely different backs. I mean, you have Drake, who's the speedy guy. He's going to hit the hole and hit the hole hard, and Gore's going to get the ground and pound for like 2 or 3 yards. And that's just something that appeals to most teams, I guess, for some reason, because he keeps getting the shots. So I don't know how I feel about him being like my RB2 the rest of the year. How do you feel?
Drake?
Drake, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I think at some point they're going to have to start giving him more touches. So I think he'll be fine as an RB2. I just think if you drafted him, you weren't expecting him to be a low-end RB2.
Yeah, you weren't expecting this big of a split.
You were expecting to draft an RB2 and get RB1 value.
Right. Yeah, so there's not any upside with Gore taking that many snaps away. But if they keep winning, I mean, they're 2-0. So if they keep winning and, you know, they actually think, okay, well, maybe we can make a run at the wild card, then maybe they'll start feeding the ball to Drake a little bit more and stop giving it to Gore. But
I'm going to age myself a little bit here. Do you know who Lorenzo Neal was?
Yeah, fullback. Yeah.
So Lorenzo Neal had a saying, and this is what I think Frank Gore is now. He had a saying that, you know, if you need 2 yards, I'll get you 3. If you need 4 yards, I'll get you 3. that's what Frank Gore is now. Like, he's just going to get you 3 yards every play. It doesn't matter what it is.
And that can be valuable for some teams, and it's just frustrating because Drake, if you need 3 yards, I can get you 50, but I can also get you -3, and that's just kind of how it goes for him. So there's not much upside right now. You'd probably need a Gore injury or the Dolphins to keep winning, and I don't know which one of those is more likely, honestly.
I think it's Gore getting injured, honestly. But I mean, Tannehill doesn't look bad, but he's also not airing it out.
Yeah, it's Tannehill. I mean, we know what he is.
Do we, though? So, I mean, has he been healthy long enough to really know what he is?
I mean, he's never going to be at the top echelon of the quarterbacks. He's just going to be a guy that you can throw out there and, you know, just know that you might be in the game as long as you have a good defense and good running game, but he's not going to win you a game or air it out, like you said, for 400 or 500 yards if you need it.
All right. We have the Oakland Raiders at the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are 3.5-point favorites.
Oh, yeah. Give me Oakland.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because the points are win outright.
You know what? I think they're going to win outright.
All right. I'll take that bet.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. Dolphins money line seems like a sure thing for me. All right. let's move on. This is going to be a quick one. Buffalo Bills at the Minnesota Vikings. Is there a Buffalo Bill you are comfortable starting?
No, and I've said it since week one. I wasn't even comfortable starting McCoy the first 2 weeks. So I'm not sure when I'm going to be comfortable starting any Buffalo Bills the rest of the year. I mean, it's that bad.
I've been a LeSean McCoy apologist, but I just it's already week three, and I'm jumping off that bandwagon.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Allen, he looked better in week two, you know, full week of the starter snaps. You know, he didn't look quite as scared, but he, like, dude has happy feet. Dude does not know how yet to step up into a pocket. Because there have been times, you know, his first few games where, you know, the pressure comes around his side and he takes off. And he needs to learn how to step up into the pocket, not be afraid that the pressure's coming around him, and step up, plant his feet, and throw. And he hasn't yet gotten to the point where he trusts his offensive line enough to do that. Until he does, that offense is really going to struggle.
Yeah, not just his offensive line, but also his receivers to get separation. I mean, whenever Zay Jones is your highest snap percentage wide receiver, you know, it's probably not going to be good things. But I think it's, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, I think it's good for this year for him to get a year under his belt with, you know, kind of probably the worst case scenario as far as talent around him. Just because, like you said, he's not stepping up in the pocket. Well, that's something that he can learn and get better at. And then whenever they get actual weapons and an actual offensive line in front of him, then maybe he can, you know, blossom into something that's decent. And that's all you really need to be a Buffalo Bills quarterback. So,
yeah, I guess. Let's move over to the Vikings. You know, I mentioned earlier, I know the Vikings are probably going to go up huge in this game. I don't think that means that Cousins will necessarily be pulled unless they go up, like, you know, by 40 points. But I think Cousins will play quite a bit. I think he's a fine start. I think if they're going to protect anybody, it's going to be Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I agree with you. Do you think that Adam Thielen is the best wide receiver on this team? Would you rather have Thielen than Diggs the rest of the year?
In fantasy, yeah, for sure.
See, I think I'm the same way. And in draft season, it wasn't like that. And I know me and you have talked to you about this, you know, at length.
We've talked about this a lot. I mean, this is Cousins likes to throw those short and intermediate routes, and that's what Thielen runs out of the slot. And when they said that they weren't going to move Adam Thielen to the outside this year, I was like, Thielen's money. Thielen is a number one wide receiver in fantasy, and I'm sticking by that. Not to say, like, Diggs isn't great, and he went off last week. And there are going to be games like that, but ultimately Thielen is going to be the guy who gets, you know, double-digit targets every week. And, you know, those targets are easy passes. They're short over the middle. They're intermediate routes. They're going to be high completion percentage throws. So, I mean, Thielen's the guy, I think, that you want to own, especially if you're playing in PPR league, but even in standard. I mean, Thielen is going to get just so much work that he's going to score touchdowns. And so, yeah, I mean, I think Stephon Diggs is going to be fine. He's going to be good wide receiver two all the way, and there's going to be these huge, you know, breakout weeks like we saw last week. But those are going to be fewer and far between Adam Thielen.
Yeah, there's just so many more electric plays for Diggs, so I think he gets, you know, more of the camera time. I mean, besides the pass that Cousins threw last week between the two defenders that Thielen caught for a touchdown, which was awesome. But I think that's great for Thielen. You know, people are going to say, look, Diggs had this much game. And then they look at the box score and they're like, whoa, Thielen did better. Like, what the hell? but are you buying low on Dalvin Cook just because of his start, because of his injury? You know, they're kind of working him in slowly. Are you buying low on him? Or
I am, I think. I mean, it depends. I mean, what are we calling low? I mean, if I'm getting RB2 prices, I think I would. But I don't think anybody who paid first or second round prices on Dalvin Cook are selling him at this point.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's had a couple pretty awful games so far. 16 carries for 40 yards against the 49ers. The
people don't look at individual performances, you know, when they're deciding whether or not they're going to sell high or low. They look at the team performance, and they're going to look at this team going, well, this team's scoring a lot of points. Eventually, it's going to filter to Dalvin Cook.
Right. So. Yeah, see, I was avoiding Dalvin Cook in all my drafts. I don't have him on any team because I was worried about the injury. I was worried that he came back a little bit too fast.
I just didn't want to pay full price
for a guy exactly.
who played half a season.
Right, and he was still going in, you know, sometimes in the first round, second round.
First
so.
Overall in the Scott Fishbowl in the league.
Yeah, that's insane. So I think if you can buy low, I'm on the boat of buying low. But like you said, I think it might be hard to sway that owner to sell low.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's you know, especially in football, it's so difficult to buy low. Sometimes one because there aren't as many positions as there are in a sport like baseball, and so it's hard, you know, because when you buy low, you don't want to like offer position for position. Like you're not like going and go. Oh, well, here's Carlos Hyde. Look, he just scored 2 touchdowns. I'll trade him to you for Dalvin Cook. That's obviously fishy. Like, you know, you want to go after – you want to send a wide receiver. You know, you want to go, oh, look, Amari Cooper for Dalvin Cook. And I just think that's a hard thing that to get people to agree to. So it's hard for me. If you can get that kind of deal, sure. But I think the majority of people that are – I don't think people want to. I think everybody wants to buy low. Nobody wants to sell low. So,
oh yeah, like, definitely.
It's no one's accepting these trades. At least not in the leagues I'm in.
Yeah.
Like even my brother-in-law just got like my brother-in-law does not like know like he's a Niner fan. He watches the Niner games, but he doesn't really know football. And he's got Alvin Kamara, and someone like threw this like quantity over quality trade at him, and even he knew. He goes, "This is just stupid." Like I was like, yeah, wow, you don't really know anything, and you can pick the stupid trades out. So, all right, Buffalo Bills at the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are 17-point favorites at home.
Wow, I was going to ask if it was double digits. You know what? I'm going to take Minnesota
to cover. Right? I mean, yeah, I am too. Like it's like I just that defense is good, and that like I think there is a legitimate chance. That if we didn't count the offensive points that the Vikings scored, the Vikings would
still win cover.
Yeah, yeah, they'd still win this. I don't think they'd cover, but I think
they might.
I think
they
their
might.
Defense will outscore Buffalo's offense.
Yeah, and then watch, we come in next week and we're talking about, all right, panic in Minnesota.
Yeah, no, that's my survivor pick this week. So for sure they're going down because I've lost 3 of my 4 survivor picks already.
Wow.
So it has not been good week. I lost two in the first week, and then I decided I'm doing a survivor pool with the guys over at Fighting Chance Fantasy, and I decided I'd let my daughter pick, who's 8 and knows nothing about football.
Hey, couldn't hurt.
So she picked the Redskins.
That's so, a homer. She gets that from her dad.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I know the Redskins. I was like, great. Bet on my team and I lose everything. So, speaking of losing everything, they lost to the Colts. The Colts are at the Philadelphia Eagles this week. What do you got in this game?
So the running back situation in Indianapolis is a little interesting. I believe Marlon Mack has been on the injury report this week, so it might be more of the rookie Hines and Wilkins. So I think I'm starting Hines if I have one of the two, just because of his involvement in the passing game.
I don't want to start any of them. If Mac's playing, I don't want to start any of them.
Yeah, and it looks like he's questionable so far. He didn't practice today, so it's not looking
Friday.
Good for him.
He didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday last week, and then he practiced Friday and played. So This appears to be a committee. Wilkins looks like the best back.
Yeah, he looks to be the best all around back, but I know Hines has a role in this offense. Sure.
I mean, for me, like I think you can find a better. I mean, even if you're like Eckler, there are better backs out there, in better situations, and Philadelphia has got a really good run defense. I don't want to play anybody on in this backfield. Really, yeah. I mean, outside of T.Y. Hilton. And Jack Doyle, the Doyle's questionable as well. I don't think I want to play anybody on this Colts offense.
No luck either?
Not in this game.
Yeah, I don't think I can play him either. I think I'll pick up a streaming option if possible, kind of stay away.
The problem for me is Luck has not looked mobile. As much as the arm has, he hasn't tried to stretch out. Stretch the field and really push the ball down the field in games so far. Like, he hasn't looked as comfortable moving around the pocket as he did prior to the injury. And so for me, that says maybe he's still dealing with that foot stuff he was dealing with in the preseason. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles, while they don't necessarily have the best pass defense in the world, they do bring a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and one of the best pass rush.
Yeah, and so that for me, it becomes a scary thing. In terms of that's how the secondary gets picks, is they bring so much pressure, guys make poor decisions. So, I'm not trusting Luck. So,
yeah, I can't trust him either this week.
On the Eagles side of the ball, you said you would start Carson Wentz. I think I'm keeping him as a QB2 for this first week back. I want to see him actually play. I know the Colts secondary sucks, but they've actually played decently well.
Yeah, and I think Philadelphia might do everything they can to protect him if possible, but it doesn't look like Jay Ajayi is going to play, so that's going to be a little bit difficult if they're still wanting to win this game. I mean, they're going to have him start throwing, so I think Corey I might
Clement,
double up.
Baby.
Yeah, definitely, but I think I might double up on my Philadelphia Eagles top 15 quarterbacks again. I think Wentz is probably going to be a top 15 quarterback. Do you want to take that bet?
Yeah, I'll take that.
All right.
Yeah, I don't. I think they're going to be a lot more conservative. I think you're going to see a lot of Corey Clement this week. I can't imagine they're going to let Wentz air it out first week back.
Yeah, and I think Sproles and Ajayi didn't practice on Thursday, so definitely keep an eye out for both of them going into the practice tomorrow.
And they brought up, I can't remember who it was from the practice squad or running back. So. I think there's it sounds like there's a really good chance that that Ajayi is not on the field.
Yeah, so if that's going to be the case, I think you got to fire up Clement as an RB2 in most leagues for sure.
Ranked, yeah.
Yeah. So other than that, I mean, I'm still starting Aguilar. I'm still starting Ertz. Yeah. I don't think there's anybody else on this team. I mean, there's no other wide receiver, of course, but. Actually, Alshon Jeffrey did a limited practice today, so that could be encouraging.
Yeah, I'd love to see. I think, we talked about this in the preseason. I actually think Aguilar is a better receiver when Jeffrey's on the field.
Okay.
So, because I think the defense pays more attention to the other side. It allows Aguilar to get into those bubble screens and those quick slants that he really excels at. And kind of take off and make the big plays out of those short passes. So I think it would be a nice little boost. I'd probably put Aguilar as a wide receiver too if Jeffrey's playing.
And are you starting Jeffrey this week if he's out there?
Probably not. I mean, it depends on the format and league. Leagues where you start three wide receivers, then I'm probably saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
But, the leagues with two wide receivers and just a flex, I'm probably out.
Yeah, I think the discount was so much during draft season that you probably drafted him as your third or fourth option. So I don't think you have to throw him in, especially not in this first game back.
I've got lots of shares of Jeffrey and they're deep leagues, and more than likely I'm still going to. I think I'd rather start Galladay. I think I'd rather start I'm just trying to think of random guys. Let's see. Would you rather start DJ Moore or would you rather start Alshon Jeffrey?
If Jeffrey's out there, I'm starting Jeffrey. I mean, DJ Moore got like 15% of the snaps last week, and
okay,
they
yeah,
just
that's
they
right.
will they want to roll out Torrey Smith over
Corey,
him every
Corey
week.
Davis or Alshon Jeffrey.
Ooh, Davis at Jacksonville. I think I'll still go Davis though.
Yeah, I think I'm still going Davis. I'm just kind of scrolling through. Michael Crabtree or Alshon Jeffrey?
Probably Crabtree.
Yeah, I think I'm
yeah,
going
I
that
think
route.
I think we're together about, you know, probably not throwing him out there the first week, but if he can stay on the field and, you know, get a full game in and actually perform, then I think you'll probably feel a lot better going into next week.
Yeah. All right. We have the Indianapolis Colts at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are 6-point favorites.
Yeah, I think they cover.
That's going to be close. I said 20-13. So I'm taking the Eagles
yeah.
to cover, but I'm not putting money on them covering. All right, let's move over to my team, the Green Bay Packers at my Washington Redskins. What you got?
Whew,
Aaron Jones time, baby.
Let's hope so. I mean, I have so many shares of Aaron Jones, and then Mike McCarthy opened his stupid mouth this week and said, look, he's behind Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams. Like,
bullshit
I understand.
He is.
I understand that Williams is a great pass protector, and he's a guy that'll get you a few yards here and there, but Aaron Jones is just so much better than
a more
both
dynamic
of them.
Player. And, like, don't tell me he's behind Ty Montgomery, you know, the guy who's getting, like, four touches a game. Like, don't tell me he is. Now, that being said, it's really difficult to start Aaron Jones this week.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, and even if he doesn't, like, let's say he gets 10 touches. Like, that's encouraging to me. What's going to be discouraging is if he gets 2 touches.
You know what? I could probably see that this week, him getting a couple touches and then people panicking. And then come next week, he's more of a featured role. But I think it's a way of McCarthy probably punishing him just a little bit more, especially with his comments that he said this week in the press conference. But if Aaron Jones is out there in the league, if you can do, you know, if you can do a Jamal Williams for Aaron Jones trade, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think I am too. I like I said, I think maybe the first couple games is going to be, you know, he'll be slowly worked back in. But Jamal Williams is a north-south runner. He can't really catch the ball. He isn't what this up-tempo, you know, air it out kind of offense wants to be. And so I think while Williams will probably continue to get a lot of the short yardage work and maybe the goal line work, I think Jones is going to take this role eventually.
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you. Now, one of the things that I was looking for last week was how Aaron Rodgers looked. And I know it was against the Vikings, but this was coming off the week of having this knee injury. And he threw for 281, had one touchdown. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but can you start someone over Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know who. I mean, unless you started, like, unless you got Rodgers and Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can see that argument.
I'm just worried because of his knee injury. I know it was against the Vikings.
Washington
this is probably
secondary
gonna,
has been really good.
Yeah, this is probably going to be a tell-all game just to see, you know, if he's performing like he did against the Vikings with one touchdown, he might not be an automatic start every week, especially with this injury. I think it's limiting him that much.
I don't know how you cannot start him. I mean, like, there's obviously players that you know, that we can say, okay, yeah, you've got to just start, you know, Mahomes. You can start Mahomes over him. But, like, are you really going to start Ben Roethlisberger over him? Like, I don't know how you draft a quarterback as early as you had to draft Aaron Rodgers and then you bench him. Because really, you shouldn't have drafted another quarterback. Like, if you spent a third or a fourth round pick on Aaron Rodgers, you did that so you wouldn't have to take a backup.
Right.
So, like, you shouldn't have, like, unless you, like, picked up Ryan Fitzpatrick, like, you shouldn't have a guy, like, that is worth starting over. If you do, you made a poor pick and strategy.
Yeah, that's true. But I think coming off of this week, after this game, it's gonna tell me a little bit more on how limited he actually is. And he might not be a surefire QB1 every single week, so
if he struggles, would you sell low on him?
See, that's the thing. I actually got a trade offer for him this week, and I could not click accept because I'm just so worried about. Oh man, you're gonna have to make me look it up. Let me look it up while while we look at that.
I mean, because I just don't understand. Like for me, if you made, like I said, if you made the draft pick, like I don't know how you can rationalize starting someone else over him. It just to me that it doesn't make a ton of sense. Like I'm gonna bring up real quick. The schedule for this week. So, like, obviously, I would probably take Mahomes over him. Would you start Aaron Rodgers, or would you start Cam Newton? Not that people are going to have that choice, but
probably still Rodgers. Like I said, this week I'm probably going to stick with my guns, but I'm looking at this game hard to see if, you know, coming next week, I got to see who they play, but if I can just fire them up for
sure. They're playing they're playing home versus Buffalo. Like, there's no way. God. You're definitely starting him next week.
Okay. Well, the next 2 weeks, you should be good. And then maybe he's healed. So maybe this conversation is null and void. But it's just something for me to keep an eye on just because I know Devontae Parker is going to get his. Jimmy Graham showed up a little bit. And
they're at Detroit. Like, the schedule is lining up pretty nicely. So, like, even if he struggles, like, if he struggles this week, this is the time to go buy low on him.
Okay.
Because then a week six matchup at home versus San Francisco. Like,
okay. So he's got an easy schedule. I didn't think, you know, Green Bay would have an easy schedule.
It means their schedule down the stretch is probably going to suck.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So, you know, well, I mean, it's not actually. I mean, there's definitely some hard matchups. They've got. After the bye week, Rams, New England, Miami, who's playing decent defense, Seattle, Minnesota. But even the playoff matchups, if you play in week 14 through 16 for your playoff matchups, or 15 through 17, you've got week 14 home versus Atlanta, week 15 at Chicago, so a tough one, week 16 at the Jets, not a tough matchup, week 17 home versus the Lions. So, like, the playoff matchup works out really well, too, for the most part, as long as, you know, the at Chicago works out well. So, like, I don't understand where you can rationalize benching him unless it's going to be at the Rams. But, like, you can't bench him at New England because that could turn into a shootout.
Yeah. So maybe I'll be the one that gets, you know, added on Twitter. This guy said not to start him.
They played their two toughest defenses early on in the season. It's one of the reasons why I talked about why I thought Aaron Jones would get the rollback, because Jamal Williams had to face Chicago's run defense and Minnesota's run defense the two games Jones was suspended for. So now Jones gets to come in and be the hero.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're starting Adams, you're starting Graham. I'm not sure about the running backs in this game, but I don't know. I don't know if I can start Allison just because I'm so worried about Rodgers. So I can't say, you know, I'm worried about. No, I'm not a Cobb guy at all.
Cobb guy, but while the Redskins have played really well against the pass, their weakest spot in their secondary is in the slot. So where Cobb lives. So I actually think this is a really good week to start Cobb. And I put him as a wide receiver, a low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3.
Yeah.
So, and then Jimmy Graham's an obvious start. He bounced back last week. The Redskins have been terrible against the tight end for years. So, I mean, he's an obvious tight end 1. Let's go over to the Redskins side of the ball, because they super disappoint me all the time. And I'm so glad that the Redskins traded away their premier corner out of the slot to get Alex Smith, because now he can check down every pass.
Well, I mean, I think Chris Thompson has shown, you know, some life, and this is just so surprising to me.
He
just
got
based
14
off
fucking targets, dude.
and we knew that. We knew that Chris Thompson would be viable in this offense with Alex Smith, but the problem was he going to be healthy enough? And I think he's answered that emphatically for the first 2 weeks, and he's starting to get more playing time than Adrian Peterson.
He's a running back 1.
So, I mean, I think I'm right there with you. I think he's right on the edge of RB1, RB2, and I'm really upset that I didn't have any.
He is a running back 1. If you were getting 14 targets out of the running back position, you are a running back 1 in PPR.
Oh yeah, and I'm so upset that I don't have any shares of him just
I don't
because I was
either.
so worried about the injury.
Yeah. Well, he
So
wasn't supposed to be ready to start the
I
season.
know. He wasn't supposed to be ready until November.
Yeah.
And here he is in September just being an RB1. So that's frustrating. I think Paul Richardson is frustrating. He was a lot of sleepers for
all
a lot
of the
of
wide
people.
receivers. Like I you know, usually when I do my fantasy alarm write up, I write you know, at least a few sentences, if not a whole paragraph about each player. I lumped all their wide receivers to go together and said none of these guys are getting enough regular targets to make a difference. They're all wide receiver fours.
Oh yeah. Unfortunately, that's how it is, and a lot of people were high on Jamison Crowder, but
I
it
was
looks like Chris Thompson has taken Crowder's role.
It's really, really fun. I cannot stand Alex Smith. I've hated him for a long time, and now him being on my team is just really fucking annoying.
So I think you got to start Reed and probably Thompson, and that's about it. I don't think you can even fire up Crowder as a flex guy until he shows it.
I agree with you. It's Reed and Thompson. You know, Adrian Peterson is an RB3. All the wide receivers are wide receiver fours. Alex Smith is a low-end QB2. It's really just disappointing all around. So, Green Bay Packers at my Washington Redskins. The Packers are 3-point favorites.
Yeah, give me the Packers.
Yeah,
they'll cover.
I'm taking the Packers too. All right, Cincinnati Bengals at the Carolina Panthers. What do you got?
Gio Bernard. It's the Gio Bernard show, and they also signed Thomas Rawls. So I don't think your little sleeper guy that you said last week is going to
Mark Walton, baby.
Yeah, I don't think he'll make any impact because I'm sure they'll bring Rawls up, and I think Gio Bernard is probably going to get the most carries out of
Mark
the two.
Mark Walton.
Okay, you want to bet on it? Let's do it.
I'm not betting on that.
Walton versus Gio. You heard it here first. I'm going to write that one down. I'll chalk it up.
Give me 20 points.
You know what? That's tempting. No, I can't do that. I will say that AJ Green is probably going to have under 3 touchdowns this week. That's just my
bold
prediction of
the
year. How
about this? I will say that Mark Walton gets at least 8 touches.
Okay, I'll take the under.
Okay.
This is the most uninteresting bet that we've done so far.
Well, then here's the only reason I'm talking about it, is you should pick up Mark Walton. Because if
okay.
not, he's going to be the highest picked up player next, you know, in waivers next week.
Just like Gio Bernard was this week?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody ran to the waiver wire to go get Gio Bernard. And don't get me wrong, Gio Bernard's going to get a lot more touches. But I think I would not be surprised to see Mark Walton get 40% of the touches?
Okay. I mean, he has been in the offense, and you know, Rawls was just signed this week,
and
so...
Thomas Rawls sucks.
Yeah, that's true. I just believe more in Gio Bernard than I do in
Thomas
Mark Walton.
Rawls couldn't make the New York Jets or the Seattle Seahawks. Like,
yeah.
We're not talking about, like, running back stables. Like, this is a team that just gave Bilal Powell and Isaiah Crowell a crap ton of touches. Like if he can't make the Jets, like, there's a problem. So, like, I think Mark Walton will have a role in the offense. Now, that being said, like, you're picking him up for free. Like, don't go out and spend a crap ton of Fab or anything like that. But, like, if Fab's already run, he's still on your waiver wire, yeah, go grab him real quick. And worst-case scenario, you're dropping him next Tuesday.
Right.
But, like, best case scenario, maybe you got a guy who is the Joe Mixon while Joe Mixon is out.
That's a little bit of a stretch because I think Gio Bernard is still going to have a major role while Mixon's out. I just don't think they turn it all over to Walton.
Well, for sure. Yeah, I'm not saying, like, I'm just saying, like, he's going to – I think there's a chance that Walton could carry the first and second down work. And
okay.
then Bernard is – who Bernard has been since they drafted him. A guy who they trust on third down, passing downs, things like that.
All right. Are you starting Andy Dalton this week? Mr. 4 touchdown Andy Dalton on 57% of completions?
Not against the Panthers.
No, I think it's just A.J. Green.
Yeah, I think it's
A.J.
Green.
A.J. Green, Gio Bernard.
You can't start any of the tight ends because now – not only are they running, you know, multiple tight ends, they're running 3 tight ends out there. it's super frustrating. You know, we saw the John Ross breakout last 1 week because week two he gets one catch for 8 yards. And Tyler Boyd becomes the guy. You know, and they've got Captain Munnerlyn in the slot for Carolina. Like, he's not going to have a huge game again. That being Boyd, I think you're right. I think it's AJ Green, it's Gio Bernard in a PPR league, and that's probably about it.
All right.
What about Carolina's side?
So Carolina, I mean, I'm ready for Christian McCaffrey to do something a little bit exciting. He hasn't pulled off
caught
a big run yet.
Passes.
Yeah, but it's been boring. I'm ready to see him on SportsCenter. I still think that, you know, moving forward for the rest of the season, especially with Greg Olsen out, he's going to be the focal point of their offense. Sure. I mean, when you get 14 targets, 14 receptions, just like you said, you're going to be an RB1, especially in a PPR. But only 8 carries, that's a little surprising to me.
The offensive line is in shambles.
Okay.
That's the problem. The offensive line is atrocious.
Yeah, and he was on the field 94% of the time. No other running back saw more than 4% of the snaps. So that's just telling me they're not running the ball that much. I mean, I know they have Cam Newton, but it also shows me that it's Devin Funchess, it's McCaffrey, and it's Cam, and that's about it. I mean, you want to believe in DJ Moore, but like I said, he was only
dude,
on the field.
That play, though. I mean, how is he not on the field 75% of the time?
He's on the field 25% of the time. So he's on the bench 75% of the time,
it makes no sense. Like, yeah. Get Jarius right off the goddamn field.
Or Torrey Smith. 87% of the snaps, Torrey Smith. It's insane. I mean, he even almost came up with the Hail Mary, and I think if he comes down with that catch, I mean, you're talking about a Hail Mary here, but I think that gets him more playing time, and that's frustrating just because he looks to be electric. He looks to be – it's kind of like the Calvin Ridley situation, you know. We love what we see. We want to see more, but it's like they're not giving him the chances yet.
Yeah. To my point, if you have a Pro Football Focus membership, you can go over and see how they grade out their offensive line. And they've got 2 below-average offensive linemen, including their left tackle, 1 average, 1 high quality, and then 1 just a barely above average in Khalil, their center. So, like, their offensive line is not good. And it'll be interesting to see, like, the Bengals have a decent defensive line. Atkins up the middle, Dunlap on the outside. So I think that's going to be a really big matchup for Cam, especially if they want to try to air out the ball. It's going to be Dunlap versus the left tackle, Chris Clark, who's just played completely atrociously the last 3 seasons.
Yeah, definitely. What are your thoughts on Funchess? I know I don't think you were a big Funchess guy,
I've
but
never
he was
been a big. Well, no, let me take that back. I was a big Funchess guy when he was in college because I see this big body because he played tight end in college and he's got a very big body. He's got very big hands and he runs really well for a guy his size.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, like, for a guy who's got such big hands, it seems like they're made of stone. Like, he reminds me a lot of Eric Ebron. It's like you see all these physical tools and you go, this guy should be good, and he's just super inconsistent. He's not good at running routes. He's slowly been improving that over the last couple of years, but it's still not great. I'd say he's at best average at running routes. I think he's going to be super inconsistent. I think he has a hard time getting off the line. He's going up against William Jackson, who's going to jam him quite a bit. I think he's gonna struggle in this game.
Do you think he's going to struggle the whole year? Because I think I see a season bet coming on.
I think he's going to be very inconsistent.
Okay. Like, do you think he won't be a wide receiver 3 the whole year?
No. I think he'll be a mid wide receiver 3 when it's all said and done.
Okay, so no
bet
here.
But you drafted him as a wide receiver 2, more than likely.
Yeah, that's a little steep for me. But what I see here is, you know, he was actually the fourth highest in percentage this year, or this past week. He was 99% of all the snaps that the Carolina Panthers
Well, just
played.
they
So
have no one else, and
they
they
have
have
no one
Jalen Warren for someone else.
exactly.
Like,
But they
this
all,
is the volume argument. Like, just
yeah.
because he's getting volume doesn't mean he's good.
But he's also 6'5". Who else is 6'5" on that team besides Cam Newton?
No, I mean no one. Like I said, I love the physical skills, or the physical gifts. I just think for me, and I think I may have said this on this podcast or may have said it somewhere else. I think 99% of it's up in his head.
Yeah,
Like
I think you remember said
I
that.
think he makes mental mistakes, and I think he doesn't think about what he's doing. And I think, for a big guy, like, he shouldn't struggle to get off the line. He should just push these guys right over, but he does, and he struggles in routes, and it's I think a lot of it's mental, and I have a share of him. Like, I wasn't like so down on him that I wasn't willing to take him at a discount if I got him there, and I grabbed him as a wide receiver three in a league, and I think he'll probably give me that value back, but. I think there are people who thought that, okay, this is a year where he's going to break out and he's going to turn into a top-end wide receiver too, and I don't think that's happening either.
Yeah, I don't think I can do that for any Cam Newton wide receiver, but just because he's the only big guy on this team and he's getting that much playing time, I think he'll be a wide receiver three most weeks, and I think he'll be in most of my
And
lineups if
that's
I
where I
had
have him
him.
this week.
Yeah. So, but I think it's just those three moving forward for the Panthers, especially with Olsen being out for, a few weeks.
Okay. Bengals at the Panthers. Panthers are 3-point favorites at home.
Yeah, I think Panthers cover.
Yeah, I actually picked Panthers to win 24-21. I think they win. I think it's probably a push on the spread, but if I had to pick, I'd probably take the Panthers to cover. All right, Tennessee Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. What you got?
So this running back situation has not came to fruition yet. I was hoping that, coming off of week one where it was the crazy 10-hour game that maybe it would start to shed some light on it. But Deion Lewis had 58% of the touches or the snap count, but Derrick Henry was still out there, the other 42%. So I think it's going to be probably a 60-40, depending on game flow, maybe 50-50, which is going to be frustrating for most weeks. But for this week, I think you can only start Deion Lewis just because it's against Jacksonville.
See, I disagree, actually. I think the way you beat the Jaguars is you run it down their throat.
I'll take the bet. I think we're doing this 2 weeks in a row.
We're reversing it. You took
No, I didn't take
Oh
Henry.
no, I took Henry. That's right. We're gonna do this 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah, let's do it 2 weeks in a row.
All
Why
right,
not?
fine. Deion Lewis versus Henry, week three.
Yeah. Hopefully Blaine Gabbert isn't the quarterback this week. I mean, that was
Well, I
something
think
that
he
was a
might be, and that's
surprise.
the problem.
Yeah.
So,
I'll still keep the bet either way, but it's frustrating whenever Blaine Gabbert's out there any week, but especially going up against Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's probably going to be a top-ranked defense for sure this
it looks
week.
like Mariota practiced
Oh,
yesterday, so.
limited. Yeah, he was limited throughout the week last week too, and then he just came in on Sunday and said he wasn't feeling it. He couldn't grip the ball. So I think for this offense, it's, pick your poison with the running backs. I'm a Deion Lewis guy. Justin's a Henry guy. And then you got Corey Davis. I think that's it. For this offense, not just because it's against Jacksonville, but I think moving forward, it's going to be those three guys every week.
Yeah, I think you're probably about right. On the Jacksonville side, I mean, this is Moncrief. Like,
Oh.
oh man, that's so frustrating.
You know what? I was hoping Moncrief would get cut so I wouldn't have to worry about it, but I think whenever they lost, who'd they lose this preseason?
They lost Marquise Lee.
Yeah, whenever they lost Lee, I think that solidified his spot on the team. So, and for him to be the leading target getter for them, I mean, it's just so frustrating. But Cole and Westbrook is two guys that we've been on, and they both showed up. So I think those are the two guys to own in this wide receivers. I'm really interested to see Bortles as a fantasy option because going up against Tennessee, threw four touchdowns and had a rushing, a lot of rushing yards against New England last week. So he's not fun to watch, but, you know, I've heard a lot of people say you don't have to watch the games. Just watch your score keep going
up. I have
up.
To watch the games.
But, I mean, he might be startable. He might be on the fringe QB1.
No, this is an aberration. This was, they wanted to jump on New England early so they wouldn't have to worry about it. That's all this was. I mean, people are like, if you think Blake Bortles is going to be more than a mid to low end QB2, then you're fooling yourself. I mean, part of the problem is we had no Leonard Fournette. Mm-hmm. So they decided that they were going to try to take it to the Patriots and try to pick them apart through the air, and it worked. Like, it was smart. They jumped on them early, and, you know, and then so that way they didn't have to worry about, you know, playing a close game like they did in the AFC Championship. You know, they took a risky shot, and it worked. But if you think this is going to happen every week, no, they're going to run the ball, especially with Fournette back this week. They're going to run that ball down Tennessee's throat.
Yeah, and one quick thing for Twitter users out there. Go out there and follow @BortlesFacts. It's really funny. Yeah,
that's
one of the best Twitter handles there. Do you think TJ Elden still has a role with Fournette coming back? I don't think so either.
Not unless they get up huge. If they get up huge, maybe this week he does a little bit.
Just kind of ease him back in.
Yeah, exactly. Let's, you know, especially he was limited in practice earlier today, so, you know, maybe they limit him a little bit more, but I don't think week 4, week 5 we're talking about Yeldon not being on the field at all, really.
Yeah.
All right. Tennessee Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. There is no line for this game because Vegas is waiting for
Fournette.
Mariota, I think.
Okay.
They're waiting for Mariota. They're trying to figure out whether he's going to play or not. My guess is Jacksonville is going to open at about five and a half. Yeah, something like that. So
yeah,
I'm taking the Jags to win.
Yeah, I'll take the Jags. If it's around 5 to 6, I think I'll take the cover too.
Yeah, me too. Broncos at the Ravens. We got the Case Keenum we all know and love.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, he won a game, whatever. I mean, it's...
Well, no, I just meant he looked like garbage until the end.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's no reason to... I'm looking at his stats. I mean, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions against Seahawks, whatever. And then, you know, 0-1 last week. So he's not a guy that I'm looking to start even as my QB2. And I think we said that going into the season, too. I think the more interesting thing is this running back situation. I think that Freeman is going to be in a timeshare with Lindsey most of the year.
For sure. And I think Lindsey may lead that timeshare for the most part.
Yeah, I think Freeman's probably going to be their goal line back, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But Lindsey
can catch the ball much better than Freeman.
Yeah, so I think if you gambled and picked up Lindsey after his awesome week 1 and you started him or, you know, just rostered him, I think it might work out for you. And I just remember Freeman's price inflating so much towards the end of the draft season, and I'm glad I stayed away from that bandwagon.
Yeah, me too.
What are your thoughts on Demaryius Thomas? I don't think we've ever had this discussion.
I mean, I'm not worried about him. He was targeted 11 times. It was just a really bad showing by Case Keenum. Keenum just looked really, really bad. I don't think this is a great week for Demaryius Thomas, so I put him as a kind of a high-end wide receiver 3. But I think he'll be fine rest of the way. I think we're seeing a flipping of what it's been in terms of fantasy in the past, in terms of Demaryius Thomas being more valuable than Emmanuel Sanders. I think that flips, but I don't think Demaryius Thomas is going to take that huge of a downslide.
See, I'm not a big fan of Demaryius Thomas. I don't think I ever have been. I don't think Case Keenum can sustain both of them, and I think, like you said, it's going to be more Sanders than it is going to be Thomas, and I don't think that I could start Thomas even as my flex in most weeks, especially not this week up at Baltimore, but in most weeks, I don't think I'm comfortable starting him as my flex.
I understand where you're coming from, but Demaryius Thomas almost had 3 times the amount of targets that Emmanuel Sanders had. Emmanuel Sanders caught all 4 of his targets. He had 4 targets. Now, he caught all four and went for 96 yards because, you know, they're the more low or the high percentage throws. He's coming out of the slot. That's where, you know, again, where Keenum likes to live a little bit. But ultimately, Thomas had 11 targets. He's going to get quite a big, you know, target share. I think he's going to be fine. Like, I think both of these guys are low-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver threes rest of the way, because they're going to have to throw a lot because this team's going to suck.
Yeah, the only problem is they're both kind of injury-prone, especially Thomas with his hip and his back. So, you know, if you can move on from Thomas, that's all I'm saying. I think I would rather move on from Thomas than kind of deal with the frustrating weeks, especially whenever he inevitably gets hurt. But, yeah, I think it's Sanders. One guy that I'm keeping an eye on, especially in a deeper league and even in a standard league, just because the tight end position sucks, is Jake Butt. And I think we said that last week, just to keep an eye on. But last year I was in on him.
Keep an eye on Butt.
Yeah, yeah. Good one, good one. but I think he'll probably, as the season goes on, I think we'll get more incorporated in this offense. And, you know, before he had the knee injury, he was being touted as a first-round pick, you know, into last year's draft.
Michigan, yeah. Mm-hmm. I also am going to keep an eye on Courtland Sutton. He's definitely he's kind of separated himself from Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, both Thomas and Sanders have injury histories, and I think if one of them goes down, Sutton is the guy who kind of steps up and fills that role. So in deeper formats, if you're looking for a deep stash that nobody has, or in other leagues, just throw him on your watch list. But he definitely is the number three right now.
Definitely.
All right, on the Baltimore side of the ball, what the hell happened to Baltimore?
I mean, what the hell is going on with their running backs? I think it's the Buck Allen show now. I mean, he's not fun to watch. He's not fun to watch, but he keeps getting
8 yards on 6 carries.
Yes, but the percentage, he was on the field for so much more. And let's see here. It was actually split. It was 49-49, but I know, let me look up his target share, because I know he has a lot of targets in the game, in the passing game. And it was just so frustrating because every time they would get close, or they would even think about getting close, they would go straight to him. They wouldn't even remember that Alex Collins is on their team. So, let's see, 5 for 36 last week, 6 attempts for 8 yards with a touchdown. So that's frustrating. But it's just his involvement in the offense that's so frustrating because of Alex Collins. We've seen how good he was. He had 10 touches and almost had 100 yards last game. Like, give the dude the ball.
Well, when you're down huge early on, that becomes the problem. So, like, I understand what you're saying. At the same time, Collins was on the field for the first series. Collins was on the field for the second series. Collins was on the field for the third series. Collins was on the series, the field for the fourth series. You know, it was Collins early on, and then as they go down 28-7, that's when you start seeing. Well, even then, you still had Collins on the field. So, like, I mean, it was really in the second half when they're trying to make a comeback and they're throwing the ball. That's when they bring in Buck Allen. So, like, I don't think that I understand, like, they were on the field for the same amount of time, but ultimately it was because they fell behind. And if you believe this defense is not going to fall behind 28-7, you know, in a lot of games, then Collins is going to get a lot more of the snaps moving forward.
Yeah, but it's not like he's inept in the passing game. He had 3 for 55. It's not like he has bricks for hands.
You know how some coaches are. This is this guy. Like, you know, this guy's going to do this. This guy's going to do that. I'm never going to switch it up. So, I'm not necessarily worried that Buck Allen is leapfrogging him. Actually, I think this is the perfect time to go out and try to buy Collins.
Yeah. See, I did the opposite. I sold him.
You know, see, this is your mistake.
Yeah. But it's just so frustrating. It's frustrating to own a guy like that, just because we've seen the talent. The coaching staff has their guys, and I don't think they're going to stray away from that. And I think it's going to take, you know, a long run for Collins to get a touchdown. I think Buck Allen is going to get the work in the red zone. So it's going to be frustrating owning Alex
Collins. More fantasy points this week, Collins or Buck Allen?
PPR?
Either, I don't care.
Yeah, in PPR, I'll go Allen.
All right, I'll take Collins.
All right.
All right. And wide receivers, is John Brown starting to break away from the pack?
Possibly, but I think as soon as he does, he'll either get injured or Michael Crabtree will have a big game or Willie Snead. I think it's more for Joe Flacco, just kind of having actual weapons around him. So if you have him in a two-quarterback league, then you might be able to start him most weeks. I think this one's going to be a bloodbath, though. I think it's going to be a running game, not very much offense at all, like both defenses in this game, actually. So if you have a lot of shares of a lot of the wide receivers or skill positions besides Sanders, I wouldn't feel comfortable starting most of them.
Really? I have no problem starting Brown or Crabtree. I mean, the cornerbacks on Denver suck. The whole secondary sucks in Denver.
Well, Chris Harris is still there, but...
Yeah, but he's playing a lot out of the slot right now.
Yeah, that's where he's been playing most of his career, too.
For me, I'm not starting Snead, because that's mm-hmm. where Snead and Harris are going to line up, you know, in front of each other. But Crabtree and Brown, yeah, I got no problem, you know, starting... Adam Jones, the corpse of Adam Jones is probably going to be guarding Crabtree, Bradley Roby guarding John Brown. I think this is a great week for John Brown, and I think it's going to be a fine week for Crabtree. So, as long as no one has sickle cell problems in Denver, I think we're okay.
They're in Baltimore.
Then we're fine.
Yeah, I think they're both flex options for me for this week.
I put them both as wide receiver threes.
Okay.
So, Denver at Baltimore, who you got?
Baltimore.
Baltimore. Baltimore is 5-point favorites. I think they'll cover.
Yeah, I think they will too.
Houston Texans, or the New York Giants at the Houston Texans. This is an interesting one for me because... Barkley really struggled to find running room last week versus the Cowboys, but caught 14 passes for 80 yards. So he was like, well, I can't do it this way, so I'll do it this way.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time on these teams so far, and I don't want to go on my rant about the Giants. Just follow me on Twitter if you want to see my rant about the Giants. Yeah, well, a semi-rant. I mean... They were so impressive to me in the first week against Jacksonville. I was like, okay, they're going up against the Cowboys. I even touted for Eli Manning. I started him in one league. I mean, it was awful. It was just so terrible.
What an awful game it was to watch.
Yes. And Odell Beckham didn't get involved. And it's against the Cowboys. I mean, it wasn't even against anybody. So, okay, I'm not going to get on a rant. You're starting
the offensive line. The offensive line in New York is atrocious.
It's really bad.
Like if Eli, like don't get me wrong, like I love that they took Barkley because he was the best player in that draft, and when you're getting him at pick two, like you take it, right? I mean, he should have gone first overall to Cleveland, and they decided that they wanted to go a different direction. Fine. But you take the most talented player in the league, or you know, in the draft, at pick two. They have, according to Pro Football Focus, they have two or both of their tackles are below average. Their left guard is below average. Their center is average. Right guard is just barely above average. This is one of the worst offensive lines in football.
I don't think you have to look that up to know that their right tackle is below average. I think you can just watch, you know, a couple plays and see that Ereck Flowers can't be on a football field. But, I mean, and it's funny, whenever you listen to the broadcast, there's still fans that are saying, why did we take Barkley? Why didn't we take one of the quarterbacks? Like, what have you seen that you don't like? I mean, I
have to correct myself real quick. I was actually looking at Houston's line.
I'm sure it's probably
the Giants line. The entire right side from center to right tackle is below average.
Below average, yeah, that sounds about right. But I think for New York, I think you're starting OBJ. I mean, you have to start Barkley. You have to start Ingram. I'm not trusting Eli Manning, even if it's a QB2. Not until he has
as a QB2.
I thought so last week. I mean, last week was the week of all weeks, and I think he had a better game against Jacksonville than against Dallas.
Yeah.
So I think it's more of me just being so frustrated that I probably won't
For
start him
sure. No, I understand
until
that.
I see about 2 or 3 weeks of solid production. But if he can't push this ball down the field, it's going to be frustrating most of the weeks, especially for Odell Beckham owners.
He was just outside of QB2 last day. He was the 26th quarterback.
Yeah, and I started him in a 10-team league, so that's why.
Yeah,
so
that was a mistake. Yeah, that was poor. You should have started Bortles. But yeah, no, I don't. I mean, in a one quarterback league, you can't start Manning. Mm-hmm. They're going to be big games. I just don't know that this is it. Obviously, like you said, you're starting Barkley, you're starting Beckham, you're starting Ingram. I don't think Shepard is startable with the amount of mouths to feed.
No.
And I think Eli's play is going to be largely dependent on how the offensive line plays. And, you know, if the offensive line struggles, then he's going to struggle because he doesn't have the mobility. I mean, he's never been a mobile quarterback, but he definitely doesn't have the ability to outrun guys when you know, the pressure comes at him. And this isn't a great week in that regard. I mean, you got J.J. Watt and Clowney. Mm-hmm. Coming at you, so it's definitely not a good week to start Eli Manning.
Right.
On the other side of the ball in Houston, like, what are you doing with Deshaun Watson?
I think this is his week. I think this is the week that he goes off. Yeah, I think so. I also think that Will Fuller, you have to start him every time he's in the lineup with Deshaun Watson. Until we see otherwise, I mean, he has 8 touchdowns with Deshaun Watson, and he's probably played 6-7 games. So you have to keep throwing him out there as a wide receiver 2 or 3. Hopkins you're starting, and Lamar Miller you're starting. But I do think that Watson's going to have a breakthrough week this week.
I have a hard time believing that. I really do. You know, it just – part of the problem is the offensive line play has been so poor,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, I accidentally mentioned, you know, the Houston line in terms of their grades, comparatively speaking, as the Giants. But – you can just, you know, rewind it 30 seconds and go back and listen to how badly they graded out.
At least he has some legs under him. He does
have some legs. And that's why Will Fuller becomes so dangerous, is because when he starts scrambling, Will Fuller.
We just become best friends.
Yeah. he can break down the field and it just becomes a game of catch. That being said, I think Fuller was going to see a lot of Eli Apple, who has actually looked really good this year so far. So I think Fuller may struggle a little bit more. I think this is the Hopkins show. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Watson go off. That being said, he's kind of towards the back end of my QB1s.
Okay. Also, one more note, Hopkins and Fuller were limited today. Hopkins with the ankle, Fuller with the hamstring. I'm not worried about it, though.
I'm not worried about it either. Lamar Miller, RB1 this week?
Yeah, back end.
Yeah.
But
he's getting a huge load. The Giants have been
struggling
against
solid.
The run. So, Giants at the Texans. Who you got?
Texans.
Texans are 6-point favorite. I think Texans win, but I don't think they cover.
I don't think they cover either, but... Well, you know what? I think they do, because I think Watson's going to show out. So.
All right, we'll see. Los Angeles versus Los Angeles in Los Angeles.
Whoa, wait, what?
this seems weird to me, but it's strange but true.
Let's just do San Diego versus St. Louis. Can we do that?
Yeah, I really miss that.
No, they'll think we're talking about baseball. Let's go back.
Yeah, no.
Well, even L.A. versus L.A. in baseball, too.
Is Philip Rivers a QB1 this week?
Not this week.
Yeah.
Maybe top 12, but, you know, right on the edge. I mean, the Rams defense is just so good. Just so good. It's insane. I think you're starting Gordon, definitely starting Allen. Mm-hmm. And if you have a better option than Philip Rivers, then definitely.
What about Mike Williams? I put him as a wide receiver 4 this week.
Probably flex.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's very boom or bust this week. I think he could, you know, do one of those 5 for 80 yards and a touchdown, or I think it could be, you know, 3 for 20 and no touchdown. And
it's more the matchup than it is the talent. I think moving forward for the season, you're going to probably start him more weeks than not.
Completely agree. But that Rams defense is looking pretty legit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Peters is looked revitalized. That's who likely match up against him. I think it's going to be a real struggle this week for San Diego to move the ball through the air. I think they're going to have to rely.
San Diego.
Damn it.
Sorry. That's my fault.
I think it's going to be hard for the Chargers to move the ball through the air. I think they're going to have to rely a lot on trying to run the ball with Gordon. I think that's going to be difficult as well because the defensive line is so good. But ultimately, I think it's going to be real risky for me to throw Williams out there and really any other wide receiver other than Keenan Allen.
Yeah, the scary thing about the Rams defense is the linebackers. I mean, the linebackers were the weak spot coming into the season, and they've played great. So yes. if they're playing great, then this defense is going to be number one most weeks.
I completely agree with you. Moving over to the Rams side of the ball, I'm not going to say cities in this game. Brandon Cooks is legit, dude. Like,
oh yeah.
I think there were some doubts, and I had some doubts myself of how he was going to fit into this offense. But I think he is a no doubt wide receiver one right now.
Oh yeah. Now the one that I'm worried about is Robert Woods. What are you doing with Robert Woods?
Well, I wasn't a Robert Woods guy to begin with, and I'm definitely not now.
So he played the least amount of snaps compared to the three, Kupp and Cooks.
But still tied for the most targets.
97% is the least amount. So he's on the field, but it's hard to start him right now. I mean, it looks like they're looking for Cooks, they're looking for Kupp, and they're looking for Gurley. They haven't had a Robert Woods game, and I think last year they had more Robert Woods games because they had Sammy Watkins on the outside, not Brandon Cooks. So I think I'm with you on Cooks. I think he's probably going to be a wide receiver one most weeks, which is going to be difficult for where you paid for him because you might have drafted him as your third wide receiver. So you're going to have some, you know, possible hard decisions coming up. But I think you're starting Cooks, Kupp, and Gurley, and probably Goff as well.
Yeah, right there. Well, Goff's a two for me, but
Goff or Rivers?
Rivers.
See, I'll go Goff. Let's do it.
I just think they're going to run the ball. Oh, well, for a board bet?
Yeah, okay, let's do it.
Yeah, sure, why not? I got to let you try to catch up. All right. Los Angeles at Los Angeles. Los Angeles is 7-point favorites. The Rams.
Hey, I won't lose this one.
Chargers at the Rams. The Rams are 7-point favorites. Who you got?
Yeah, they'll cover. They'll cover.
Yeah, I think they will too. I think, what did I say? Oh, no, actually, I said the Rams win, but the Chargers will cover.
Okay.
So, Chicago Bears, the surprising Chicago Bears.
Ugh.
At the Arizona Cardinals, who are not surprising, unless they're surprisingly bad. I think people were very excited that this was the year Mitch Trubisky was going to take a step forward. And I would like to point out that last year was such a bad trial run because of just the organization that I don't think he learned anything. And so it's hard to take a step forward if you haven't had that kind of rookie year in the way that a lot of quarterbacks get that, especially having to switch offenses and stuff. I think this is the trial, or this is kind of the almost like the rookie year for Trubisky, and next year will be the year he's going to break out if he's going to.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I'm just tired of watching the Chicago Bears defense. That's just me. I mean, there's three games on in the 3 o'clock time frame. There's three games on in the 3 o'clock time frame. They're going up against Arizona. I mean, I already know what's going to happen.
Two pick sixes for Khalil Mack or
right. I'll take the over. I'll take the over. But I think for Chicago, I was very impressed with what I saw with Allen Robinson last week. You know, 10 catches, that's awesome. I probably going to be hard to start him right away, especially this week against Patrick Peterson. A guy in like a deeper format, Anthony Miller, who we talked about, You got to fire up Jordan Howard. Tariq Cohen is more of like a flex play. If you're, yeah, I mean, it's
I don't even know, is he going to play? Because he left with an ankle injury. Well, they said it's not a big deal.
Yeah, he's actually, he was questionable yesterday, but they took him off.
I think this is a Jordan Howard game. They're just gonna run Jordan Howard. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Cardinals are giving up the most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. This is going to be the Jordan Howard show. I think Allen Robinson is a fine start because of the amount of targets he's getting.
Against Peterson?
Yeah, no, Peterson's not the player he was. I'm not that worried about Patrick Peterson. I don't know.
I want to see back-to-back weeks for Robinson having some good games.
Yeah, and I think this is one of those weeks where he will. Okay. So I think he'll be fine. I think Howard is an RB1. I think Trey Burton. Trey Burton's got to get involved at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So like I think I'm still rolling him out there, unless I've picked up, I don't know, OG Howard or someone like that. Maybe I'd start Howard over him, but. There's very few guys who I really trust at tight end right now. Anyways, if I spent the price tag on Burton, then I'm probably rolling him out there. I really want to talk about the other side of the ball because I did something that I didn't think I would ever have to do. I ranked David Johnson outside of the RB1s.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that.
And I don't feel bad about it. Like it's. I don't know how you can say that David Johnson in this offense is an RB1.
Yeah, it's the usage right now. I mean, it's baffling just because we know how good of a wide receiver he is or just, you know, how good of a guy catching the ball he is. I know their coach came out this week and said he's going to get some more time in the slot, but if he's getting more time in the slot, then where's Fitzgerald going? So this offense is a mess right now, and especially going up against Chicago.
They've got David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk.
Yeah, and I think Fitzgerald's going to play. I'm nervous about starting really anybody, honestly.
I mean, I think you're starting David Johnson.
I think you have to, but yeah. Fitzgerald, are you starting Fitzgerald?
Is Fitzgerald even going to play?
He was limited today, but they said they're not worried about his injury. He should be able to play.
I put him as a low-end wide receiver 3.
See, yeah, because I'm thinking about starting Aguilar over him.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Yeah,
I would.
And just I think right now with Sam Bradford, it's going to be bad, and I don't think this is the week to throw Josh Rosen out there if I'm Arizona either.
No, I don't think it.
Wait a week, let Sam Bradford take all the beatings, and throw him out there again next week against Seattle.
Yeah, I think if I'm them, I think I'm waiting for week 5 in San Francisco.
Yeah,
you know, let me get a really bad defense, and maybe Seattle because they're at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, they definitely, you know, maybe Rosen comes in halfway through the game or something, but
if Max out there, you don't want Rosen out there.
this is very true. Chicago Bears at the Arizona Cardinals. I have the Bears winning this 29-0.
Wow.
What's
the line? It doesn't matter. I'll take them in the
cover. The Bears are 6.5-point favorites.
Yeah, Bears are going to cover. This is just like the Minnesota Buffalo game.
Dallas Cowboys at the Seattle Seahawks. We got to move fast. We're already at 90 minutes. So.
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
Is anybody worth starting on this Dallas Cowboys team other than Elliott?
Nope.
I agree. Let's move on to Seattle and talk about the running back situation there. Is Penny the guy now?
I mean, he's the boom or bust play. He's getting just over the amount of snaps that Carson's getting. So I think if you drafted him, you should probably throw him as your flex. I want to see it one more week where he gets the main load of the carries. But I mean, he's definitely the better running back of the two. And then for this offense, is it the Dallas defense or was it New York last week that was bad? Because I
think it was probably New York's offensive line being really bad. But Seattle's offensive line is really bad.
Yeah, so it's exactly.
I don't see that you can say that. I'm not starting either of these running backs.
Mm-hmm.
I put Tyler Lockett as a wide receiver 2.
Okay.
He's definitely showed to be the guy. Marshall, wide receiver four. For me, you're starting Elliott, obviously, for the Cowboys. Starting Russell Wilson. You're starting Tyler Lockett, and you're starting Will Disley.
I'm going to lower my expectations for Wilson.
Wow, really?
Yeah,
you're
I think he'll
he's
be
not a top 12 quarterback.
He'll be at the back end of it. I'm not going to take that bait, but he'll be at the back end of it. I know it hurts you probably more than anybody to put Lockett as a wide receiver two in your rankings, though.
It does, because I've been, and I think he's going to be super hit or miss, but with Baldwin out, they have
Baldwin
to throw
out.
Someone.
Yep.
He seems to be the guy.
That's it.
So, Cowboys at the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are 1.5 favorites.
I'll take Seattle just because I hate the Cowboys.
Me too. We move on to Sunday Night Football, the Patriots at the Lions. Running back situation in New England, who's the guy? Is it Michelle? Because he looked pretty good.
He looked decent, but he looks really small.
Small.
I know, but I thought he'd look bigger than James White, but he looks just like James White. And they got that mixed up so many times on the broadcast. I couldn't get over it. But
super racist.
I think you're starting Michelle as a flex. I think you're if Burkhead's going to play and probably out of the concussion protocol, I'm assuming, then I'm probably starting him too. And then I think this is a Chris Hogan week. Gronkowski was limited today and Wednesday, I believe, so that's a little bit concerning. But I think you're firing up everybody on both sides of the ball in this game.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I think so.
And if Kerryon Johnson's still out there, which is probably not going to happen, but just check your waiver wire and make sure he's going to take over this job sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
so
it's happening. He's the best back in that backfield.
Yeah, you're starting both quarterbacks. You know, all receivers relevant. Gronkowski and the Patriots running backs.
Completely agree. And you ready to admit that Kenny Golladay is better than Marvin Jones?
No, not yet.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get there. Patriots at the Detroit Lions. The Patriots are 6.5-point favorites.
You know what? I'm going to take Detroit in the points.
Yeah, I'm taking the Patriots to cover this one. Monday Night Football, Steelers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know what the over-under for this game is, but I bet it's got to be close to 60.
And you know what? It's probably not even going to be close. It's probably going to be like 30.
Yeah, no. It's gonna be one of those like 10-3 games.
Gotta love it.
So,
I'm ready for an Antonio Brown game. What about you?
Me too.
I mean, I have him on a couple teams. He's been vocal the beginning of this week, so hopefully that means he's going to get force-fed the ball more than he usually does. But I'm ready for an Antonio Brown game. If it's any week, it's going to be this week.
I'm right there with you. I think Antonio Brown has a big week. Good. I think I'm going to roll him out in DFS. I think Connor is going to have a big game. That Tampa Bay rush defense is not good, giving up the third most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. Juju, man. I love Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, but he's a great guy to follow, and he looked great last week. I think he's going to continue to be a huge part of this offense. So I'm going to keep rolling him out as a wide receiver too. Jesse James, you buying in on him as a tight end one, or are you going to say that he's still kind of in that clusterfuck of tight end twos?
Yeah, he's definitely in the clusterfuck. I think as soon as you start to buy in, then Vance McDonald's going to have a long touchdown. So
yeah.
I'm going to stay away from that.
I said Jesse James is a tight end one this week, but it's more about the matchup. The Bucs are really bad against the tight end.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
So, is this the last week of Fitzmagic? Is the magic going to disappear, especially with Winston coming back to the team week four? Does Fitzpatrick have another amazing week in him, or is he going to suck and Winston get the roll back week four?
I don't think that he can do anything to lose the job right now, especially not for week four.
I agree, actually.
And I don't see him struggling against Pittsburgh. I mean, I thought that Mahomes would last week, and that didn't happen. So, you know, I'm probably going to fire Fitzpatrick up. I don't know what to do with DeSean Jackson. I mean, it's frustrating.
I think you have to say he's a boomer bust low-end wide receiver, too.
Yeah, and
like I hate players like that because you know you probably didn't roll him out in your lineup the first 2 weeks, and you're gonna roll him out this week,
and he's gonna have a dud.
Yeah, he's gonna catch two passes for 30 yards, and you're gonna be like, oh awesome. but I mean, 2 weeks in a row, and this Pittsburgh defense has gotten burned 2 weeks in a row. It's hard not to roster a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's frustrating. And there was a guy I told, you know, do you want to start Aguilar or DeSean Jackson? And as soon as DeSean Jackson had that first play, he's texting me. He's like, why did you tell me to start Aguilar? I'm like, oh, my gosh, freaking DeSean Jackson. So,
well, and see, that's the thing. Like, it almost all came in one play. Like,
yeah.
That's the hard part. You know, four catches for 129 yards and a touchdown, but it was, 75 yards and a touchdown in one play?
And two straight weeks. I mean, he's consistent.
He is, but, like, how – that's not repeatable. He's got to be a wide receiver three for me. I got to bust him down in my ranks.
And I think if you can trade him for Godwin, would you do that? I think I would.
I think I would, too.
Yeah, so I would keep an eye on Godwin. I'm definitely firing up Evans. I'm still holding on for Barber. I think with this offense, the way it's moving, eventually DeSean Jackson's going to get stopped at the 1 yard line. They're going to give it to Barber, and he's going to get you a touchdown. So I'm still going to run him out there as like a flex and low end RB2.
I'm interested to see if Ronald Jones is active.
Why? I mean, why would they if they've been doing so good without him? You know,
it's like,
I mean,
Barber's been doing good,
right? But he hasn't had to. Fitzpatrick's been doing everything. I mean, he hasn't had to carry the load at all. But I think if they were struggling and they needed some life in their offense, then they would activate him. But right now, I mean, they have a flow going.
You
and
spend
I,
a second round pick on the dude.
Trust me, from a football standpoint, I agree with you. There's no reason for him to be inactive. But I mean, they don't need him right now. So
he had 22 yards on 16 carries.
Yeah. I know. Trust me, I lost a board bet because of it.
So, no, I think they need to activate. At least have him on the field. Give him a chance, you know? Like, who the hell is Sean Wilson?
I have no idea who Sean Wilson is.
He was their third running back. He ran the ball one time for 9 yards. There's no reason. Like, you're paying him this money. Get him on the field. You know, like, what does he learn about being an NFL running back by being inactive? That's ridiculous to me. I really like O.J. Howard. He's obviously passed Cameron Brate on the depth chart. He is a big play guy. He's a tight end one for me right now.
Okay, I can see that.
So, Pittsburgh Steelers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Steelers are 1-point favorites.
I'm going to take the upset. Tampa Bay.
Wow. I think the Steelers blow them out. You want to board bet that one?
Nope.
Okay, didn't think so. We got some board bets this week. Let's see. Yeah. We got six board bets on the board this week.
I think that's two straight weeks we had six. So. And I know this one was a little bit longer than the last, but we had a few players that we wanted to focus on. So.
For sure. What do you got going on?
You know, just finishing out the baseball season, doing this podcast with you for football and. That's about it for now. I mean, just kind of sitting back and working a lot. So that's probably why I don't have a lot much going on.
You can catch me on these podcasts for football, for baseball. Read my baseball stuff over at Fangraphs, football stuff at Fantasy Alarm. I put a huge article up there every week. Other stuff on friendsoffantasybenefits.com. And hit me up on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. That's going to wrap us up for Colin and myself. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.